You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join Vince and me tonight, immediately after the first game of the Dodgers-Giants series, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential. I will be solo this first half again, just like yesterday. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so I will talk with you about Trevor Bauer and pitching on regular rest after his high pitch count outing last time. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Max Muncy's MVP case and how his defensive position might affect that. So that's what I'm going to do. And then Vince will be here for the second half of the episode to talk to you about some other stuff. But first, I want to remind you, please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So the Dodgers lost on Wednesday night. It was their first loss. I think they had won 8 in a row. So breaking a pretty long winning streak. We knew they were going to eventually lose. The way they did it wasn't super pleasant. Trevor Bauer just didn't really have command, threw way too many pitches. He threw 37 pitches in the first inning. It's funny, it didn't really cost him. The solo home run he gave up to the leadoff hitter in that inning was the only run he allowed, but then he walked three batters and just kind of danced on the edge there in that first inning, settled down after that and looked fine, but only got through 6 innings. And there were some people on social media who were pretty adamant that he should have been given an extra day of rest after throwing 126 pitches in his last outing. The Dodgers are doing a bullpen game today in the first game against the Giants. And so the thought process was they could have just as easily bumped that bullpen game to Wednesday to give Bauer that extra day of rest that he probably could have used after 126 pitches. And, I'm not here to say that's wrong. I've made the point before. My general stance on managerial decisions like this is that very few decisions are right or wrong. It's you usually trying to, go between, okay, which one has a 55% chance of being successful versus the 45, and you try to take the 55 as often as possible. And what that means is that, still almost half the time, your move's going to backfire and it's going to look like the wrong move. And so I think it's important for managers to not get too caught up in, results-based analysis. Okay, well, Trevor Bauer walked three guys in the first inning. Clearly, he should have had an extra day off. And to be fair, one guy who I did go back and forth with a little bit on Twitter about this, I did look through his timeline. And to be fair, he did say even before the game that he thought that Bauer should have been given an extra day off. So at least he's being intellectually honest there. The part that rubs me the wrong way is, I wish that I had the confidence that some people have who can so quickly go from, wow, I wonder why he did that, why he made that decision, or even, wow, I disagree with that decision, so quickly get to, this decision was wrong and he's stupid and he's an idiot. And it seems like with Dave Roberts and managers in general, I've said before, one of the things that every team's fan base has in common is they all think their team has the worst bullpen in the league. They all think they have the worst manager in the league, and they all think they are the worst in the league with runners in scoring position. Because we remember the failures. And when a bullpen blows a game, we think, oh, there it goes again. And when a team, a guy strikes out with bases loaded, we think, oh, there it's typical Dodgers. And when Dave Roberts makes a decision that doesn't work or that we disagree with, we go, oh, there he is. There he goes again, be an idiot. And that's the same for every fan base. And for me, it's like, you know, I know it's a fine line between the logical fallacy of appealing to authority. I'm not saying that Dave Roberts never does anything wrong. I know some of you think that I think that, and I definitely don't. As anybody who actually follows me or listens to me knows, I'm happy to criticize Dave Roberts when I think he messes up. I will say that I think he messes up less often than a lot of you think he messes up. And part of that is because I don't think there's that many right or wrong decisions. I think it's, you know, 55-45 a lot of time. And so I'm inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt, or at least to allow for the possibility that maybe he knows something I don't. And it's always funny to me when, you know, Roberts will make a decision and people will just go off on him on Twitter. It's indefensible, fireable offense, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then after the game, we find out, oh, this person was unavailable because of this reason. And turns out the decision made plenty of sense. And, but people forget about that. They've already jumped to their conclusion. So anyway, getting back to the Trevor Bauer thing, would it have made sense to give Bauer the extra day off after throwing 126 pitches last time? Well, I looked at Trevor Bauer's career, especially since 2018. That's when Trevor Bauer kind of turned a corner in 2018, became a different player, a different pitcher, you know, tried to step up a little bit. And since then, I mean, Trevor Bauer, he went a ton of starts in a row of throwing at least 100 pitches. And he's had a lot of games in his career where he's thrown 115, 120, 125 pitches. And so I looked, okay, after those games, how did his teams treat him? You know, and basically it's kind of a mix. You know, you had June of 2018. He threw 118 pitches in 7 2/3 innings against the White Sox. And then he came back on regular rest, 4 days rest, 5 days later, comes back against the White Sox again. So even the same team, and which is often a dangerous thing for a pitcher. And he goes 7 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. You know, he had another one, 117 pitches, and then he got an extra day off, and he came back and threw 115 pitches the next time, but allowed 4 runs and 10 hits. You know, so that extra day off, I'm not going to say it was because he had the extra day off, but the extra day off didn't help him that time. Then the next time he threw 122, came back on regular rest and didn't pitch well. But then his next start after that on regular rest, he threw 123 pitches and then came back after that on regular rest and went 6 innings, allowed 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. So really what I'm getting at is there is no pattern to say Trevor Bauer has a history of, after throwing a lot of pitches, doing poorly on regular rest. The other thing to remember about Trevor Bauer is he wants to be pitching every fourth day. For him, you know, in his mind anyway, that every fifth day is already an extra day of rest. And so the fact that he had an extra day of rest before that 126 pitch start, it's like, and he even said on his vlog last week that his body felt like it was ready to pitch on that fifth day and he had to wait an extra day. And then, you know, so then he threw 126. I just don't think it's clear cut and dry. Obviously, you know, Bauer wasn't super sharp, but he also went 6 innings and only allowed 2 runs. And so it's not like he had a bad game. You know, would he on an extra day of rest have been a little sharper and been able to go a little bit deeper in the game? I don't know. Nobody knows. And that's the hardest thing about second guessing managers is that we never know. It's impossible to prove what would have happened. And that's my big point almost all this time. You know, it's impossible to know if Dave Roberts had left Rich Hill in game 2 of the 2017 World Series, would Rich Hill have gotten through the lefty matching part of the Astros lineup for a third time? I don't think so, but it's impossible to know. And so Roberts gets criticized for that. So many things Roberts get criticized for just because we can just assume, oh, it definitely would have gone better if he had made a different decision. And I think that's what we're dealing here with Trevor Bauer, that there's no way to know how he would have done, but I don't think it's glaringly a bad decision to start him on regular rest in this situation. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Max Muncy's MVP case and how his defensive position might affect that. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk about Wealthfront. You know, I'm not an investing expert. I've told you that before. But what I do know, I have a lot of investing experience, and I know that index funds are the way to go. You know, trying to pick individual stocks is a losing game. research shows that only 1% of day traders beat the market, and it's not even the same 1% every year. So your chances of doing that and being successful are very, very slim. Instead, go to Wealthfront and you can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. It's super duper easy. No manual trades, no picking stocks. You don't have to pay attention to the stock market. You just invest and let the stock market work for you. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee, and it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free for life by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Go to Wealthfront, WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Let's talk about rockauto.com. If you're like me, you walk into an auto parts store and you feel like an imposter. You feel like you walk in and they're like, this guy doesn't belong. He doesn't know about cars. And guess what? They're right. And I don't want to be there any more than they want me to be there. And so when I need auto parts, instead of going to an auto parts store, I go to rockauto.com. It's a website and I like websites. I am a fan of the internet. And if I go to rockauto.com, I punch in my kind of car, hey, 2015 Hyundai Genesis, and boom, it shows me all the parts available. And I say, you know what I need? I need bulbs for my turn signals, because unfortunately this particular year of Genesis has an issue that the turn signal bulbs burn out pretty quickly. And so I order those in bulk, and I just go to rockauto.com and I order them there, and I get a better price than I would down at the auto parts store, because rockauto.com believes in giving their best price to everyone. Whenever you need auto parts, go to rockauto.com, and I promise you will be happy that you did it. And when they ask how you heard about them, tell them Locked On sent you, or if you want to be more specific, Jeff from Locked On Dodgers. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, I'm back. I'm going to talk about Max Muncy. Max Muncy is having a great season. We know he struggled there offensively for a little while, even though he was still getting his walks, but now he's up to 286 batting average, 459 on base percent. Actually, this is before Wednesday night's game, so not exactly right. But going into the game, he had a 996 OPS, leading the major leagues in walks, 10 home runs, 25 RBIs, got his 26th on Wednesday night, and just really, really good offensively. And the thing that really sets this year apart is he's also been really, really good defensively. We saw in 2019, he turned himself into a very good second baseman somehow. Or at least a good second baseman. I don't know about very, he wasn't going to win a gold glove, but at first base this year, he actually might win a gold glove award. He is really, really good. He's statistically probably the best first baseman in baseball this year. On top of, also, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. And so all that adds up to he is one of the leaders in baseball in WAR so far. And if he can keep this up, he's going to be in the MVP conversation. And I got to thinking about, what's better for him and his MVP case, playing first base or playing second base? Because he's an elite defensive first baseman and a good defensive second baseman. And so I thought, which one's more valuable? And a lot of that, when we're talking about WAR, what it comes down to is, there's what we call positional adjustment when they're calculating WAR. And basically that means the concept is something we all intuitively understand as baseball fans. It's easier to play first base than it is to play second base. It's easier to play right field than it is to play shortstop. And it's easier to play DH than it is to play anywhere. And so when you're looking at a player's value, if two guys have the same exact offensive stats, but one is a center fielder and one is a first baseman, the center fielder is a better player because that offensive production is easier to replace at first base because you don't need a guy with defensive skill. That's one of the reasons that Cody Bellinger is so valuable, because he can hit and also, he's maybe the best defensive center fielder in baseball. Definitely one of the best. He is outstanding. So it's that concept where Cody is more valuable in center field than he is at first base or in right field, because first base and right field are not as hard, so they're easier to replace that production. And so when we look at positional adjustment, basically what WAR does is it actually puts numbers on that. And so your closest to neutral positions are you know, third base, center field, and second base. They're all, you get point at plus 2.5 runs per season for playing those positions. So basically, you know, if the baseline is zero, those positions, you get an extra 2.5 runs for playing those. The hardest ones, shortstop, you get an extra 7.5 runs. And catcher, you get an extra 12.5 runs. Because obviously catcher, it's the hardest to replace that offensive production at catcher. Second hardest is shortstop. And then second base, third base, and center field are all about the same. And then you get to the positions where it's actually a negative positional adjustment. Left field and right field are both negative 7.5 runs. Meaning, you know, compared to center field, which is plus 2.5, that means 10 runs total difference between center field and the corner outfields, because you need to be more athletic. You need to be a better defensive player to play center field. And then first base is negative 12.5 runs and DH is negative 17.5 runs. So the difference between first base and second base is 15 runs, a negative 12.5 for first base, positive 2.5 for second base. 15 runs equates to about 1.5 wins in WAR over the season. And so if Max Muncy played the whole season at first base and had the same offensive stats as playing a whole season at second base, the baseline would be 1.5 wins in WAR. His WAR as a second baseman would be 1.5 wins higher. Now, that's not the whole answer, because as we've mentioned, he is an elite defensive first baseman and a good or solid defensive second baseman. And so those are our baselines. So the question becomes, is he worth at least 1.5 more wins with his elite first base defense than he would be with his solid second base defense? And that's the thing that's really hard to tell. Right now, according to Baseball Reference, right now he has 0.6 defensive WAR this year. But that's with some time at first base, some time at second base. And I don't know exactly how that's broken up. But I would guess that most of that value is coming from his elite play at first base rather than his solid play at second base. He hasn't been outstanding at second. He's been solid. And so the question is, okay, if we say 0.5 of that is at first base, and we're about a third of the way through the season, well, that gets you to about 1.5 wins, you know, or 15 runs over the course of a season at first base. And so he seems like he might be able to make up the value, overcoming the positional adjustment, I should say, of being a first baseman by being so good at playing first base. Then when you factor in once Zach McKinstry's back and Cody Bellinger's back, then you have other options at second base who probably are better defensively at second base than Muncy is. And so his value to the team goes up even more, because right now with Max Muncy at second base and Albert Pujols at first base, that's a defensive hit at two positions over Muncy at first and, say, Chris Taylor at second. And so Muncy going back to first base actually strengthens two positions once they have all those players available defensively. And so basically, you know, I went into this wondering, okay, is his MVP case better at first base or second base? And in the end, I think the answer is it's sixes, because he is so good at first base. He makes up for that positional adjustment in WAR. And so I think his WAR is going to end up roughly the same regardless of where he plays. And, you know, maybe a little tiny bit higher at second base. I think what it would come down to might be the bias of voters recognizing, this offensive performance from a second baseman is more impressive than from a first baseman. And, you know, it'll be on the voters to recognize, but he is a great first baseman and only a good second baseman. And so, you know, I don't know if they're going to put in as much effort as I just did even. But, you know, we'll see in November. And obviously it all depends on Max Muncy continuing to play great. But right now he's in the MVP conversation, and as much as anybody can be in late May. And that's cool, because I like Max Muncy, and I like when the Dodgers perform well, and they do that more when he's playing well. So anyway, that's all I had to say for today. Like I said, Vince will be along in a minute to talk more about, I don't know what he's going to talk about, but I assume he'll tell you. So thanks for listening to me, and Vince will be along in a minute.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum and a nicotine lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors. The gum comes in wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate, and the lozenges come in cherry ice, citrus, and mint. The lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. It's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Locked On Dodgers listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product does contain nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Lost my hot streak yesterday. Told you to bet the Dodgers to win. I won't give you a bet for today. Just remember, you can go to Bet Online to track all the action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. That includes not just MLB, but NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs and the summer stretch. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at Bet Online. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Yo, yo, Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the show. Shout out to Jeff for once again holding it down. I'm enjoying my fun employment, so I've been able to go out and do things like I don't normally do. So that's why we've been split the last couple of days. Hopefully we'll be together tomorrow on Locker Room. So make sure to download Locker Room and make sure to check us out after the game, after hopefully the Dodgers win. Before I get into, I'm going to talk about bullpen games and how they're not that great. I'm not a big fan of them. Diego Cartaya in a second game for the Quakes. I was not there, but he had 3 hits, including a home run. So like I said, if you want to go see Diego Cartaya, go see him now. He's probably not going to stay down there in low A very long. So make sure to go see him. Kid's a beast and is a future Dodger for sure. But let's get into bullpen games. Dodgers have a bullpen game scheduled for this Thursday. A handful of bullpen games they've already had this season after Dustin May went down. And you know, as much as we, or Jeff and I, or at least, you know, we like to embrace analytics and certain things, there's just some things of the new baseball that I'm not really that on board with, and bullpen games are one of them. I don't mind them occasionally, like once a month, out of necessity, but the Dodgers going to the kind of extreme of having the bullpen game as the fifth starter since Dustin May got hurt. I know it's not going to last that long with Tony Gonsolin coming back soon, but I'm still not a fan of it. Right away, we noticed the first time why it's not a good thing not that long ago when Dustin May originally got hurt, because they had a bullpen game on the Friday, and then Saturday, Dustin May gets hurt in the second inning, and now it's essentially another bullpen game, and now you're kind of, you know, stretching yourself thin. Not only are you stretching yourself thin because you have to use multiple guys, but using guys on potentially back-to-back days, you're probably stretching some guys out, pitching a little bit more than you would like them to, and it's just not a good way this early in the season to kind of handle things. I know maybe Josiah Gray could have potentially been a guy that filled in for these 3 or 4 starts that they've had instead of having a bullpen game, but he hasn't been healthy and hasn't really pitched. So, and they didn't really have any other starting pitching option on the roster. Andre Jackson's on the 40-man, but he's never pitched above double A, so he's not quite ready, although he could probably hold his own or at least give them 4 or 5 innings or whatever. But the thing with bullpen games for me is that you kind of want to have that bulk starter. Edwin Uceda has been that guy a couple times already. He was supposed to be the guy last time. They didn't end up doing it, and they ended up, you know, throwing guys 1 inning pretty much here and there. And I think the big reason for me I don't like it is, like I said, it just sets you up for potential disaster in the coming days. Or, you know, had Trevor Bauer not made it out of, let's say, the fourth inning, when I have to cover four or five, six innings, depending when he came out. You got to cover the full nine innings on the day of the bullpen game. And then you got to count on your guy the next day not, you know, coming out of the game earlier or getting hurt or whatever else it is. So you're just setting yourself up for a potential disaster. And you might not think a loss right now in May is potential disaster, but you'd want to put your best foot forward as often as possible. And the bullpen game, while the Dodgers bullpen has some good arms, and, you know, they I don't think they've won or they didn't win. Either way, whatever their record is in bullpen games is not going to make me like it. I know a lot of other teams, they kind of do it out of more so necessity than anything else. The Rays have employed it before. They're kind of the ones that got the openers going and bullpen games going. And, you know, they don't have the ability to kind of have five guys in the rotation every year at a premium price. They have to make sure the young guys come up, and, you know, if someone gets hurt, they don't really have the reserves to go sign a pitcher, even if it's for a cheap deal. You know, they're just a cheaper team overall. They don't have the budget that the Dodgers have. And with the Dodgers, with some of the guys we've seen on the 40-man roster, Phil Bickford, the guy Blankenhorn, who just got claimed by the Mariners the other day, they had a spot on the 40-man to maybe give to a guy to come eat some innings if they didn't have confidence or anyone in the minors to come up. And I know it's tough to do that because they might have to let him go right after. And what if he pitches well? But that's a problem you can cross the bridge when you get there. If he is pitching well, hey, Tony Gonsolin, you're going to come back and you're going to be pitching out of the bullpen for a little bit, being our long guy and you know, pitching when we need you, or even go to a six-man rotation for a little bit. Because like I've mentioned before, I think the Dodgers are really going to have to take a look and take an approach later on in the year that's going to have to save some of their arms. These guys aren't going to be built to throw 180, 200 innings in a season coming off a 60-game season. Clayton Kershaw, already a guy that they monitor anyways. You know, I don't know if he'll have – he's not going to have a phantom IL stand, but he, you know, they may need to skip him or add someone to the rotation every so often. And I think the Dodgers' reliance on the bullpen games right now is not the most ideal thing. I'm not a fan of it. I think they need to – I know Tony Gonsolin, like I said, is going to come in and fill in. So maybe they just thought they could get through the month of May without it and then get Gonsolin over here. But I just think it could have been a better way of being employed. I think they could have found someone. There's plenty of arms out there that maybe – aren't stretched out, so that's the only issue. Edwin Uceda is somewhat stretched out. He can give you about 50, 60 pitches, but like I said, you're just putting guys in a lot of situations that they're not really ready for, built for, used to, and stuff like that. And we saw it in the playoffs where they ended up using bullpen games in the playoffs, and I was even less of a fan of that. I think they kind of messed up Gonsolin and Dustin May early on in those playoffs. Those guys both really struggled not having a defined starter role or a defined whatever role, having an opener, being whatever, and they never really got themselves going, and it kind of hurt. This year it's a little bit different with the Dodgers. They're assuming health, they're going to go into the postseason with four legit starters in Julio, Kirsch, Buehler, and Bauer. So they're not going to really have to worry about bullpen games. But, you know, realistically, I would like them to just have five starters. Just make it easy on yourselves. You know, not have to worry about potential, you know, disaster, somebody getting hurt or somebody coming out early. You have covering more arms. You're throwing maybe like someone like Kelly Jansen or Blake Treinen on back-to-back days or 3 out of 4 days or whatever else it is. And it's only May. And that's the big thing with me. I think the Dodgers, after learning what they learned and seeing how guys performed, you know, with a little bit less wear and tear of a whole season, I thought they would come out the gates a little slower, be a little more cautious, give their pitchers a little more rest, you know, try not to use guys back-to-back days, try not to use guys 3 out of 4 days like Jansen used. I think Jansen ended up going like 4 out of 6 days, even with the rest. So I thought they were going to come out the gate a little slower. They haven't done that. Maybe their plan is to slow it up over the summer. I'm not really sure entirely what the plan is, but I'm sure they have a plan, and that's why I'm just going to, you know, wait it out and stick it out and see what happens and see what they're going to do. But, you know, me personally, I would have preferred them being a little bit more cautious early in the season, ease the guys back into it. you know, have them go hard over the summer, slow them up a little bit toward the end of the season, assuming they're not in a playoff race, and then get right into the postseason. And who knows, maybe these guys are wanting to play a full season again. Maybe these guys want to go, starters want to go 180, 200 innings, and bullpen guys want to pitch through two or three times a week instead of one to two times a week. So I'm not sure entirely on that end, but I do know that I'm not a fan of bullpen games. But hopefully this is the last one for a while, or maybe they do one next month in order to, you know, skip a guy on the rotation or skip some days. You know, Trevor Bauer's been throwing a lot. Buehler's been throwing six or seven innings every time out. Julio's been throwing six or seven innings every time out. Kirsch the same. So even if they're not running up their pitch count or whatever else it is, they're still pitching and still throwing those innings and still maybe not used to it. So long story short, I'm not a fan of bullpen games. I'm going to watch the one, obviously, on Thursday, but I'm not going to be that happy about it. Hopefully the Dodgers win. Hopefully their bullpen comes through. Hopefully the offense comes through and the Dodgers can have their fourth straight win over the Giants and get back closer to being on top of the NL West. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to check us out on Locker Room after the game. We'll be talking there. And bring your questions, bring your comments, bring your concerns, whatever you have. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, please do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, who has been the best player in the NBA playoffs so far? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!